Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series called, I guess we started it last week, Unbreakable, Strength Under Pressure. That's what we want, amen, is strength under pressure. We don't want to be defeated, we don't want to be knocked down, we don't want to be squished and defeated, but we want to have strength under pressure. Because we found out that the pressure is going to come. If we're going to live on the earth, there's going to be pressure. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. And we're going to experience pressure. But he said, be of good cheer. Why? Because he said, I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world for us, meaning that he has deprived it of its power or authority to harm us and removed its ability to conquer us. So if we are overcome and we are conquered, it's because we haven't taken advantage of what Jesus has done for us. Right? Because does that mean that we are automatically unbreakable? No. Is it possible to be unbreakable? Yes. But there's no guarantee. Why? Because it really is up to us. Are we going to receive this strength under pressure? Are we going to function and operate and use this strength under pressure? Or are we just going to cave in? So the choice is ours. But unbreakable is available. Amen? So it's for us. So quickly, a quick recap. We were talking about newness of life and taking new territory doesn't just happen by wishing or by accident. It requires three things. Number one, it requires God. Number two, it requires his direction, which we find in his word and by the Spirit of God. And number three, it requires action. And so we're talking about the action part, right? Because Psalm 118 verses 24 and 21 says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So talking about the day of salvation, in order for us to experience and enjoy that, I will. I will is an action word, right? It requires action. I will rejoice. Not just think about it, not just agree with it, not just shout, yes, amen, Pastor Jeff, but no. Oh, I will. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We found out in Psalm 67 that praising God brings increase and blessing. And if we want increase and blessing, praising God is going to be a big key of our experiencing and enjoying the increase and blessing. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices. So rejoicing and praise are faith's secret weapons to live unbreakable and possess strength under pressure. And so that's what we're talking about, being unbreakable and enjoying strength under pressure. And we found out here, rejoicing and praise are faith's secret weapons. This is not well known, but it's true. These are secret weapons. The devil does not want us to know this. And a lot of people, even a lot of believers, they don't know this or they're not practicing it. But these are secret weapons. Rejoicing and praise are faith's secret weapons to live unbreakable and possess strength under pressure. Nehemiah 8:10, this is one of our theme verse, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen, in every area. Whatever area that we need strength in, the joy of the Lord will infuse and impart and deposit strength in that area for us. Amen. So last week we began to talk about how to respond under pressure. We found out in 2 Corinthians 4:13 that we need the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith is, since we have the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. The spirit of faith will cause us to be unbreakable and have strength under pressure. It's the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith is what we call a pioneer spirit. So it's not just like the museum keeper that's content with dusting off the memories of the past. It's not like the settler that basically finds a comfort zone and then sits there and lives there, camps there. But the spirit of faith is a pioneer spirit, and the pioneer spirit is the one that advances and takes new territory. We're constantly moving forward. We're constantly reaching for more. Amen. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I reach. I'm continuing to press and reach forward. I'm stretching for what God has ahead. Amen. This is the spirit of faith. We're wanting to continue to move up, continuing to grow and increase in our relationship with God and in our work with Him, our walking with Him. Amen. We want more and more. We want to get things. That's why Jesus, God said, listen, what's one of the purpose of the blessing? To increase us more and more. But that doesn't happen automatically. We must work with Him. So we must want more and more in order to experience and enjoy more and more. Because God wants us to experience more and more. So we need to work with Him. A pioneer spirit, the spirit of faith, advances and takes new territory. Then we saw in Psalm 18, because David, literally 2 Corinthians 4:13, talking about the spirit of faith, is a quote from David in Psalm 116. And so when we look at David in Psalm 18, we found out how some information and insight about the spirit of faith. More details, you can watch last week's service on our YouTube channel. But it says, the Lord lights our candle. He enlightens our darkness. How does He do that? He lights our candle with the Word, by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Candles are lit with fire. As we get revelation knowledge of the Word of God, our fire is increased. We get fired up. Amen? When we don't understand the Word and when we look at it and we just kind of have a mental agreement with it, that's just that. But the moment the lights come on, the moment we get lit, the moment the Spirit of God reveals something to us, all of a sudden it becomes alive to us. There's a fire. There's an excitement. Something goes on the inside of us that goes like, whoo, right? He lights our candle. It's very important that we enjoy getting our candle lit. So acting on this revelation knowledge gives us the advantage over the enemy to fight the good fight of faith and not back down. That sounds like being unbreakable and having strength under pressure. Would you agree? We looked and saw 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, that David was right in the middle of a very frustrating circumstance. Matter of fact, he was under major stress and pressure. And the Bible says, King James says, he chose to encourage himself in the Lord. He chose to encourage himself in the Lord. When I read it in the New King James Version, now I've read this before in the New King James Version, but it seemed more exciting this time to me because the title of the message is Unbreakable Strength Under Pressure. The New King James says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. So all of a sudden, just the word strengthened jumped out because that's what we're talking about. How do we receive strength under pressure? Well, he encouraged himself on the encouraged himself in the Lord. New King James says he strengthened himself in the Lord. So this is something we do for ourselves. Amen? We get to encourage ourselves. We get to strengthen ourselves. Strength is available. Strength is available. So we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. How do we do that? Jesus said, listen, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. So how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? How did David encourage himself in the Lord? Well, he cheered himself up. Jesus said, listen, be of good cheer. In other words, cheer up. Cheer yourself up. Stir yourself up. Encourage yourself. Strengthen yourself. How? Cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up and rejoice. So this is how we do it. How do we do this for ourselves? How do we cheer ourselves up for ourselves? We looked at Paul and Silas. They did what? They prayed and sang praises unto God. And the whole place shook around them and they were set free. So I made this statement that we may have prayed. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I've already prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I said, well, maybe, just maybe, it might be now time to add praise to the prayer. Because they prayed and sang praises. And the prisoners heard them. And the prisoners were not next door. Paul and Silas were in the lower part of the jail. The other prisoners were up higher. They were on two different levels. Paul and Silas, it wasn't silent praise. I'm just silent prayer, silent praise. Lord, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, but that's not what they did. This wasn't silent praise. They praised God. They rejoiced. They stirred themselves up. They strengthened themselves. And all the prisoners upstairs heard them. And the power of God fell where the praise was coming from. Amen? Isn't that good? So we looked at this. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, count it all joy, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you find yourself under pressure, test, tribulation, and trial. What does that mean? This is what it means. And you can find out the details of that, but this is what it means. We must rule over the circumstances with calm delight and command ourselves to think cheerfully and glad and act exceedingly joyful. Count it all joy. That's what count it all joy means. It's not passive. It requires strength. It requires strength on our behalf to do this. We must rule over the circumstances with calm delight and command ourselves to think cheerfully and glad and to act exceedingly joyful. Habakkuk 3:17 and 19 says that when things don't look like they're working out, rejoice, rejoice, and be joyful. Amen. And we found out the word rejoice means to jump for joy, to be joyful, and to triumph. If we want to win in life, if we want to win under pressure, if we want to be unbreakable, we're going to need to rejoice. It means triumph. Rejoice. Part of rejoicing is triumph. So you cannot separate winning and triumph from joy and rejoicing. It's all part and parcel according to the Hebrew word. It's all connected. Our winning, our triumphing is part of the result of our rejoicing. Rejoice. Jump for joy. And I finished the service last week talking about jump for joy. I said, If you can't jump, all you can do is sit. Then move your feet. Move your feet as if you're jumping. Don't think you're stuck. Amen? Rejoice. 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 If you just gotta wiggle more. If all you can do is wiggle more, just wiggle more. Amen? Rejoice. Just do something more than normal. So now let's pick up today Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20 says this. Talking about Abraham, it says that he did not waver or stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was what? He was strengthened in faith, or he was strong in faith. How? Giving glory to God. Strength comes by giving glory to God. As we glorify and praise him, as we rejoice, strength comes. Amen. Can you see that? Abraham received strength. He was strong in faith. And we're talking about the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith causes us to win and triumph. The spirit of faith, praise and rejoicing is the spirit of faith in action. And so strength comes by giving glory to God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Oops, Proverbs. I went way past Proverbs. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, and then we'll go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 17, you're blessed, hallelujah. Proverbs 17:22. Proverbs 17:22. says a merry heart does good like medicine. Right? A merry heart does good like medicine. So if we want medicine, merry heart does good like medicine. Just like medicine helps our body. Rejoicing and having a merry heart helps us. It's just like medicine. A merry heart does us good. Amen? But a broken spirit dries the bones. So no joy dries the bones and makes us weak. It's hard to be unbreakable and have strength under pressure when we have no joy. Right? You see that? Can you see both sides of the coin? A merry heart does good like medicine, but the other side of the coin is, listen, no joy, dryness, weakness. So we must have joy. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord. We must strengthen ourselves. We must choose to rejoice. So, Proverbs 18, verse 14. Amen. Hallelujah. 18, verse 14 says, the spirit of a man, spirit of a woman, our spirit does what? Our spirit will sustain us in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? So a strong spirit imparts strength and health to us. A strong spirit imparts strength and health to us. It sustains us. It gives us strength in sickness, in pain, and under pressure. But who can bear a broken spirit? Who can handle the pressure? There is no way to handle that pressure. If our spirit is weak, we will be defeated. We will break under the pressure. But we can be unbreakable under the pressure if we have joy. If our spirit is strong, well, how do we strengthen our spirit? Well, once again, what our theme scripture is, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's the key way to strengthen our spirit. One of the key ways, joy. Joy and rejoicing. Okay? Now, I want to read a little bit. Brother Hagin's book here, Greater Glory. But I also want to, he makes reference to this. And Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman has a book on healing. And she tells a story about a missionary woman who was helping take care of people that had smallpox. And so Brother Hagin, very briefly, let me just read this and then I'll tell a little more of the story and then we'll continue on with his story. So he said, when I first came into Pentecostal circles in 1937, I read a woman missionary's testimony of healing in a Pentecostal periodical. She had been healed of smallpox many years before the smallpox vaccine was developed. When this woman got smallpox, her doctor isolated her because smallpox is contagious. He didn't want it to spread. The woman said in her testimony that while she was in isolation, she began to pray, and the Lord gave her a vision. In her vision, she saw an old-fashioned scale that balanced weight. You remember, the old, one side is heavy and the other side, but if you put more weight on this side, it goes like this, so it's that scale, right? She saw this, and it had two baskets. And so he said, one side, it said prayer, and it was full and sat down on the bottom. The other side said praise, and there was just a little bit in it, so it hung in the air. Then the Lord spoke to her, saying, when your praise equals your prayers, you'll be healed. So for 2 days and nights, all she did was praise God, and she was completely healed. Every sign of smallpox just disappeared when her praise equaled her prayers. Now, when you read her story in the book, she talked about that it actually was that the praise side was way up in the air because there was very little praise. But her testing or her problem or situation or the circumstance, smallpox, her body was covered in smallpox, was very heavy. And in the vision, the Lord was saying, what you need to do is when your praise begins to outweigh the smallpox, then you'll be healed. And so she praised and praised day and night for 2 days. She praised and praised and praised. The doctor told her to be quiet. Be quiet. You need to rest. And she began to praise and just continued to praise and praise and praise. And she said that the woman's praise became so contagious that the nurses that were believers just started praising with her. And she praised and praised. And the question was, why are you praising so much? And she said, because I'm praising God. I have so many pox on my body, I'm praising God for each one individually. Now, not for each pox, saying, thank you, God, for this one, but she was praising God for his faithfulness. God said, you need to praise me for my faithfulness to my word. Right? So she said, how do I get rid of this? Because I'm standing on your word. As a matter of fact, she was helping and serving these people that had smallpox, believing that she would be protected. And then she got the smallpox. And then she went to the Lord and said, what should I do about this? And that's when he shared this vision. He said, you need to praise me for my faithfulness to my word. Right? So all of a sudden, what happens when we experience something that's contrary to the promise we're standing on? What happens when we're believing God for something and the opposite happens? Right? Do you think that's possible? Do you think that happens? Well, we don't even need a show of hands. We all know that. We're believing God for something. It seems like something else, the opposite just happened. I mean, what's the deal with that? But the Lord said, listen, praise me for my faithfulness to my word. Do not forget God is faithful to his word, even when the situation and circumstance looks contrary and different to what we're believing God for this and we got this. He said, so don't focus on this. Focus on my faithfulness to my word, and that's how you get this. This is part of encouraging ourselves in the Lord. This is part of having strength under pressure, strength in ourself, becoming unbreakable. When we're wanting this and we get this, instead of being mad at God, let's praise him for his faithfulness to his word, because it gets us, causes us to triumph. Rejoice, triumph, remember? Same word. Rejoice, triumph. Triumph, we want to win. Strength under pressure. And so she praised and praised and praised and thanked God for his faithfulness. And then she saw the picture. That where her praise now had outweighed the problem, and every pock disappeared. The doctor said, you will be so scarred, but there was not one scar on her body. Amen? Yeah, praise God. So then Brother Hagin goes on to say, we miss out on many of God's blessings because we don't take the time to get in the attitude of worship. I believe there is a close relationship between ministering to the Lord and receiving from him. Praising God creates an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to work. When we learn to lift our voice in praise to the Lord, his supernatural power will begin to manifest in our lives. Amen. We want his supernatural power because his supernatural power does things that cannot be done in the natural. His supernatural power does things that we cannot do in the natural. We may have done Lord, I'm doing everything. I've done everything I know to do in the natural. So that's the thing. That's part of our problem is we're just natural. I mean, the thing, we're living in a natural body. We're living in a physical body, in a natural world, so we are limited, right? We are limited. That's just the way it is, but he's not limited. And if we learn to function and operate and walk with him, and we find out as we begin to praise and worship him, we get to tap into his supernatural power so it can begin to manifest and work and operate in our lives. This is what we want. We want to live beyond limits. Amen. This is how we can function in an unlimited fashion, even though we are limited. He's not. So if we can tap into him, see, with man, Jesus said this, with man, we talked about this a few weeks ago, with man, things are impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. With him, nothing's impossible. Amen? So it is important that we get with him. We get with him and we get all things are possible. With us, there are things that are impossible. But not with him, so let's get with him. Amen? Hallelujah. So then, he's believing God because he got very sick and he was actually not supposed to even make it till his 16th birthday. And so he was, the Holy Spirit had led and guided and directed him through the Word of God. And so he, it says on August 8th, 1934, less than 2 weeks before my 16th birthday, I was so helpless that Mama had to bathe me. And she left me propped up on two large pillows with the Bible propped up in front of me, open to Mark 11, 23 and 24. I read those verses again and meditated on them. Then I said, Lord Jesus, when you were here on the earth, you said what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Well, I desire to be healed. I have prayed and I believe. Then in tones of kindness and humility, not arrogance, I said, Lord, if you stood here in the flesh, reached out and took my hand in yours, looked into my face and said, son, your problem is you don't believe. I'd have to say, dear Lord Jesus, that's not true. I do believe. Then I said, when I said that out loud in the room by myself, on the inside of me, in my spirit, I heard these words, you do believe. All right. As far as you know. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 16 concerning the Holy Spirit that howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that will he speak. So thank God he does speak to us. So you see, the Holy Spirit didn't say, your problem is you don't believe. He said, you do believe as far as you know. That means I didn't know enough. Do you think it could be possible that we don't know enough? We find ourselves in a situation and circumstance and we go, Lord, I'm doing all I know to do. And he goes, yes, you are. You just don't know enough. So sometimes we might be wondering, what's the problem? What's taking so long? Why? Because I believe. And he says, yes, you do believe. You believe as far as you know, meaning that we're missing something. Right? So the question isn't, why isn't it working? The question would be, a better question to ask God would be, what am I missing? What do I need to know? What else do I need to know? Right? So, he said that meant I didn't know enough. You see, faith is based on knowledge of God's word. The more you know about the word, the more faith you'll have. That small, still voice of the Holy Spirit went on to say, you do believe as far as you know, but that last clause goes with that verse. Then he quoted the last part of Mark 11, 24. You see, I'd just been concentrating on 3/4 of Mark 11, 24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. But the Holy Spirit reminded me of the last clause, and you shall have them. Then I saw it. I don't mean I saw it with my natural eyes. I said, I see it. I see where I've missed it. I've been trying to get healed first and then believe it. The Bible says that whatever you desire when you pray, you're to believe that you receive and you'll have what you prayed for. If it's healing you desire, then you pray, believe that you receive healing, and you'll have healing. If it's finances you desire, then you pray, believe that you receive finances, and you'll have finances. So I saw what I had to do while I was still lying there and hadn't moved a peg, while I still hadn't taken a step. You see, from my waist down, I was paralyzed. I could see I had a body down there, but I couldn't feel it. Yet while I was still lying there, I had to believe I received healing for the paralysis, while my heart was still not beating right and jumping around like an old Model T Ford hitting on one cylinder.
I had to believe I received healing for my deformed heart. And I had to believe I received healing for the incurable blood disease the doctors said I had. So, I mean, he had issues. Issues. I knew it wouldn't take that long, but I said, I believe I received my healing. And if I'm still lying here in bed 50 years from now, I'll still be saying the same thing and believing the same thing. Well, I've told that part of my testimony again and again. But in teaching on prayer, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit of something. At the very time I was taking the steps I just told you about, I had an inward urge or prompting to praise the Lord. Now, at 16 years of age, I'd never heard anyone say, praise the Lord, or glory to God. I'd never heard anyone say, hallelujah, or any other kind of praise word. All I'd ever heard anyone say was, amen, at the end of a prayer. That's all he'd ever heard. The pastor might pray before he preached, and he might call on one of the deacons to pray, but no one ever said anything after that, amen, when he got through. And all I've ever heard, and all it's been in the church, that's all I've ever heard and had been in church all of my life, so his whole 16 years. Well, saying amen is not praising God. But I had an urge to praise God. You see, the Holy Spirit will always lead you and guide you in line with the Word. You may not even know it. I surely didn't know it. But the Holy Spirit knows that prayer and praise go together. He knows that prayer is not going to be effective without praise. I had that inward prompting that something on the inside urging me to praise God. So I just did it. I began to say out loud, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Remember I told you, what was it, last week or a few weeks, that he went to take singing lessons and the guy gave him his money back and said, you know, don't waste your time. You can't sing. And so notice, he's not singing praise, but he said, listen, what do I do? I'm saying. So we can sing praise or we can say the praise. We can just say, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, or we can sing it. Either way, it's the same thing. It's praising God, right? So I had that inward prompting. So he says, I just began to do it. I said out loud, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It sounded strange to me because I'd never heard anyone say anything like that. But I just obeyed that inward urge saying, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe I'm healed. I believe I receive healing. I think I must have praised God for 10 minutes, which seems like a long time when we're doing it. I think I must have praised God for 10 minutes. Then I heard these words in my spirit. Now you believe that you're well? I said, I certainly do. Then I heard that still small voice say, get up then. Well, people ought to be up at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now tell me, how is a paralyzed person going to get up? But I made the effort. I sort of draped myself over the bedpost with my arms wrapped around it and my knees sagging to within inches of the floor. But I said, I want to announce in the presence of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and I want to call the devil and all the demon spirits to record that according to the Word of God, I believe I receive my healing. Then I felt something strike me on the top of the head. It felt as though someone was pouring warm honey on me. I could feel it striking my head and then oozing down my face. It went all over my body, down my arms, out my hands, and then down to my waist. From my waist down, I had no feeling, but I was beginning to have some sensation in my legs. I suppose all of the nerves in my legs were reactivated because for just a few brief seconds, my legs felt as if someone was sticking 10,000 pins in them. A day or two later, I told someone it hurt so bad I could have cried if I hadn't felt so good. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, but when you don't have any feeling at all, it feels good to feel anything. Well, the pain didn't last very long, and soon I was standing up straight. Glory to God. Here's what I want you to see. The answer came while I was praising God. The Bible says, Psalm 22:3, but thou, God, art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. So you could say it this way, God inhabits the praises of his people. But if there is no praises, there is nothing for him to inhabit. Praising God creates an atmosphere for him to work in. That's why the answer comes while you're praising God. Yes, God hears the prayers of his people, but he inhabits the praises. He inhabits the praises. He hears our prayers, but he inhabits our praises. Now, this is what he says. Now, you might be an inhabitant of Jackson, Mississippi. That means you live there. Well, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. That means that that's where he lives. Amen? And so, we will continue on, and we'll get into that another time some more. God inhabits the praises of his people. I remember we've been talking about Luke 18:7. Remember it says, the shout of faith and praise brings justice. Get me justice. And Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. Jesus said, God will avenge his elect. God will avenge us. God will avenge us. God will avenge us. In other words, we'll get justice in our lives. He's going to set things right, make things right, and put things right in our life. God will avenge us. He will avenge us. He will avenge us. The shout of faith and praise brings justice. The shout of faith and praise brings justice. So, we've got a little bit of time left. I want to share another story. Norval Hayes tells a testimony and a story about a young couple that came to him from Buffalo. And she was a teacher in school. And young couple, young married couple. But she was dying, and they only had given her months left to live because her liver, she had a liver problem. I mean, her liver was dead. And they tried everything and got nothing. She was not able to get better. She was still dying. And so, last resort, they were listening to Norval, and they were raised in a denominational church, so Norval was just too hard and too wild. But they thought, you know what, I believe he knows what he, and believes what he talks about, what he says, and so we're going to go to a meeting where he's speaking, and we'll go and ask him to pray and see if he can help. If not, then, you know what, it's over. It's over. And so they got to the meeting, and they got to talk to him. They asked him. They said, we've traveled from Buffalo to, I think, and Brother Norval's in Tennessee. I think he was having one of his main meetings in Tennessee. And she said, can you help us? I'm dying. There is no hope. Can you help us? And he said, of course I can. Of course I can. And so let me bump ahead. Maybe a decade or so. When I was pastoring in Southern Ontario, there was a meeting going on in Toronto, and Norval was speaking in Toronto. And so I went to the meeting. Pastor friend and I went to the meeting in Toronto, and Norval was speaking. This couple from Buffalo had driven to Toronto, so they were at the meeting. And so I saw her. He called them forward and just began to tell a little bit of their story with their two kids. And so you can tell that she didn't die. But she said, can you help us? And he said, yes. He said, can you follow instructions? You're a teacher, can you follow instructions? And she said, yes. She said, if you do what I tell you to do, then you'll be fine. Because he said, listen, so if you had a new liver, everything would be fine. And she said, yes. So the doctors say because your liver is dead, you're going to die. Yes. So if you had a new liver, all will be well. Yes. He said, the good news is God has storage room full of new livers. God has new livers. got new livers. You need a new liver? God's got a new liver. So it's not a hopeless situation. He's got a storage room of body parts. And so he said, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. Romans chapter 10. I guess we got one more scripture. Romans chapter 10 says this. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 says, for there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He said, you need to call him. You need to, what do you want? You need to call him your healer. You need to call him your liver maker. He's the one who gives you new liver. He's the one who can make a new liver. You need to call him your new liver maker. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's rich to those who call upon him. What are you calling him? In your life, what are you calling him in your life? What are you calling him for your life? What are you calling him? You will get what you call him. And if you don't call him anything, he can't do anything. So he said, you need to spend some time, you need to take some time, and you need to begin to praise him and call him your healer. You need to call him your new liver maker. You need to call him. You need to take time, and you need to open your voice, and you need to say, the spirit of faith says what? I believe, therefore I speak. The spirit of faith is, I believe and I speak. What you need to take time. You need to make time. Can you do that? She said, yes, I can do that. Can you follow instructions? Yes, I can do that. Okay. So she went home, and her and her husband decided. She said, All I can do is I can take 2 hours every night. And she walked around her kitchen table saying, I praise you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are my healer. You are my healer. You are my liver maker. I thank you for giving me my new liver. I thank you. I believe I receive my new liver. You're my liver maker. Hallelujah. I thank you for a new liver. You're my healer. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 hours. 2 hours. And Norval says, that's where most of you have just, I've just lost most of you right there. Because people won't do it for 2 hours. They might do it for 2 minutes and they'll go, did anything change? No. So then they give up. You know, maybe they might do it 2 hours for one night and then 1 hour the next night. And she would do that. 2 hours every night. 2 hours every night. And there'd be some nights where she's just too weak and too tired and she said, I can't. And her husband would pick her up and say, you have to do this. We promise and we would do this. You have to do this. So you can live, not giving up on you. You have to do this. And he'd pick her up and he'd carry her. And then she would be speaking it and she would get strengthened and strengthened. And she'd walk and finish her 2 hours speaking the word of God, praising God, thanking him, glory to God. She said after 8 months, 8 months, not 8 minutes, 8 months. She's supposed to be dead in 2 to 6 months. And 8 months later, she said, I felt something different on the inside. But she said, I just continued to do it 4 more months. 1 year. She said she walked around that table. She wore a path in her carpet. 2 hours every night for 12 months. Then she decided to go to the doctor. The doctor did pictures and did all that and goes, you have a new liver. Well, yes, I have a new liver. Glory to God. Why? Because she called God her new liver maker. She praised him 2 hours a night for 1 whole year. Walking around her table, praising him, praising him. That's what I call unbreakable. That's what I call having strength under pressure. Amen. She felt something happen in the 8th month. There's just something happened on the inside, but she didn't go get any confirmation until 1 year. And then she said, we wanted to have a baby too, but they said we can't have a baby. So Norval prayed for her. And so she had a baby. And matter of fact, she had two. And I saw the two kids, and they were probably this tall. So So this is my story. This is my encouragement. The praise cure. That's what Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans called it. She calls it the praise cure. And she said, the thing about the praise cure, it doesn't cost anything. Right? You don't have to stand in line for it to get your prescription. It's free. It's been paid for by Him. Amen. Jesus already paid the price. The praise cure. The praise cure. And she says it works every time for those who work it. The praise cure. The praise cure. The praise cure. Oh, we got 5 more minutes. I'm going to talk about my finger. This finger right here, this ring for about 6 months did not fit because of what I was doing at work with the sanding and the vibration. It started affecting my tendons. And it started wanting to make this finger curl. And it would actually get stuck, and it was called like trigger finger. I could bend it and it would get stuck, and if I kind of forced it, it would all of a sudden come through a spot where all of a sudden it would come, and then I would go to open it up, and it would open to here, and then it would, because the tendon was inflamed, and it would have to go through a tendon sheath, and so the tendon sheath, it would get stuck in the tendon sheath, and then I kind of force it, and it would come out the other end, and it would pop free. So there was a spot in the middle where it would get stuck. And so I'd either have to use my other hand to make it work, or else if I forced it, and it was painful. If I bent it beyond this point, it was painful. I could not make a fist. I went to get some blood work done one Christmas when in the middle of this, and the lady told me to squeeze, make a fist, you know, to get your veins going. Try making a fist with three fingers and a thumb, and this finger kind of, you can't make a fist. So I had to make a fist with my other hand. This one didn't work. And so I'm talking to it. Because Deuteronomy 28 says, right, Jesus said we've been redeemed from the curse. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law because He was made a curse for us. Deuteronomy 28 says inflammation is part of the curse. All the diseases, every sickness and every plague or affliction, fever and inflammation. So inflammation is part of the curse. So I would curse. I cursed you, inflammation. Get off of my body in the name of Jesus. I would talk to it. Get off of my body. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you. And I would begin to praise him. I want to thank you. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. You bore my sicknesses. You carried my diseases. By your stripes, I'm healed. You are the Lord who heals me. I'm healed. You sent your word and you healed me. You literally take sickness away from the midst of me. Lord, I want to thank you. I'm healed. I could not get this ring on. Because it was swollen. It's fat. Swollen, inflamed. It was about 6 months. What do you do when it doesn't happen the first week? You keep doing the same thing. Speaking to it. Praising God. That's what we're talking about. The praise cure. The praise cure. The praise cure. In the morning, every morning. Lord, this is the day that you've made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of healing. Lord, it's a day of healing. Now, this is specifically the situation I was dealing with, so I kind of focused on that. I focused on the healing part. Lord, I want to thank you. I go through all the parts. I'm healed, delivered, prospered, victorious, triumphant, hallelujah. But I want to thank you, Lord. I'm healed. I'm healed. Woo, I'm healed. And I would dance. I would rejoice. Woo, glory to God, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I would rejoice. After about 6 months, I remember there was one morning. One morning, I was rejoicing. I was praising God. And I just got extra, a little extra excited. Woo! I'm healed. I'm healed. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Extra, just extra excited. I went to work, did my thing. That weekend, so that must have been a Friday. That weekend, Audrey needed the oil changed in her vehicle. So I did the oil change, and every time I would grab something, you grab the fork, you grab a knife to cut, you grab the ratchet handle, I go, ah, because it was painful to squeeze it. So I'd have to kind of grab the ratchet like that to loosen the plug and drain the oil. And so I did the oil change, went to work on Monday. It was Monday, and it was like, I grabbed something, it's like, oh. I said, the pain's gone. I sent Audrey a text. I said, the pain's all gone. And then I began to think back, and it's like, I did the oil change on Sunday, and I had no problem. It didn't even register. But I thought back, and it's like, I didn't even have any problem. I don't even know when the healing manifested. All I know is I'm praising God, and I had an extra rejoicing and praising, I think, that Friday morning. Sunday, I was able to do the oil change and grab that ratchet, and it didn't have any pain. Monday, it became aware to me. It's like, look at that, it's all gone. And I'm able to put the ring on and off. The praise cure. The deliverance and freedom of my finger after rejoicing and praising God. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength in every area. You need strength in your finances. You need strength in your body. You need strength in your mind. Peace. We need strength. Whatever area we need strength in, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The praise cure will work for you in your area. I can't praise for you. You can't praise for me. We each must do it for ourselves. Amen? Now, we can encourage one another, but we must praise for ourselves. Amen? So next week, we're going to start, we'll talk about some expressions of joy. Expressions of joy. Like, how can we do this for ourselves? How can we put the praise cure to work? What does this look like in our life? So we'll talk about expressions of joy next week. Amen? Glory to God.